On this Saturday of the fourth week of Lent, we mark a very clear change. Now we're meant to start to realize, through the Word of God, the power and the nature of the opposition to our Lord Jesus Christ. So, in the first reading, we have this text from Jeremiah. Now, you know, all of these people, Jeremiah, Isaiah, and Moses, so forth, they all share in the reality of Christ. They are an anticipated realization of something in the life of Jesus. And the one who in his life most perfectly resembles Jesus is Jeremiah, who particularly in his courage in preaching to the people, and that courage comes from love. You can always tell a prophet from a nut, because a prophet loves his people. He's not just angry or an angry reformer. He loves his people. And that's why he speaks up. That's why he risks his life and sometimes loses it. Because he loves his people. Now, Jeremiah's life was a prophecy, therefore. In fact, in these famous descriptions of the servant, which you can find in four different places in the book of Isaiah, the model that this man has in mind is Jeremiah. You see, he knew this man who wrote this part of Isaiah. He knew. When he looked at the sins of his people and their exile and their suffering, and knew that it was the just consequence of their sin, he understood that there was no way that the people could be restored to God's favor. They had fallen too far out of it. Then the Lord inspired him with an understanding. There will be one just one. And he will take upon himself the sufferings for the sins of all the people. And I will restore my people. And I will bring them back to their land. And that becomes the principle upon which we understand Jesus. When you come to Holy Week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we have the first three of those songs of the servant. Thursday was different. And then Good Friday, we have the long, final song of the servant. So here, we have this example of this suffering servant. I knew their plot because the Lord informed me. At that time, O Lord, you showed me their doing. He could see, because the Lord showed him, they're out to kill me. Now he complains elsewhere, and he records that too in a series of statements which modeled on Augustine, we call the Confessions of Jeremiah. They're throughout the prophecy of Jeremiah. One of the real beautiful ones, difficult but beautiful ones, is in chapter 12, where Jeremiah is looking at this suffering, the oppression, you know, Jew oppressing Jew in his own country. And he says, you know, Lord, I know that you're righteous, I know that you're good, but tell me, why do the wicked prosper? Why do the righteous suffer? And the Lord's answer, he doesn't always treat his friends gently, you see. The Lord's answer is, Jeremiah, if you can't run with men, how are you going to run with horses? if this problem bothers you, what about a big one? You know, and if you're going to walk through the, you know, if you're afraid to walk here, what if you have to walk where there's lions and stuff? That was a very, that's the answer of a friend. If you ponder that, there is such intimacy in that answer. Jeremiah, you have no idea what evil brings about. You have no idea. I will set this right. I will set this right. I'm the only one who can, as we just said in our prayer, right? Guide us in your gentle mercy. If we're left to ourselves, we cannot do your will. And so Jeremiah, you see, embodies this reality. It's as though our Lord Jesus is pure white light. He's the sun. But it's hard to look at. And so the reality of Jesus is refracted through Jeremiah and through the figure of this prophet to come, which is described in the book of Isaiah. Now, what does this come down to? And this is the hardest part, to understand and, of course, to practice. The solution to all this suffering, unjust suffering caused by sin, is mercy. Mercy. Isn't that amazing? Now, for those who will reject that mercy, the consequences of their own sin are there, in this world and in the next. But the answer is not vengeance, it's mercy. The power of love. We take an awful risk, we Christians. We say that the solution to the world is love. Gosh, when I was, I remember, quite a bit younger, and Catherine Daugherty would start talking like this up at Badana House, I'd say, Catherine, that's great. I'm really, you're certainly right. But we've got to get rid of Daley in Chicago. I mean, you know, he's got a structure set up there that's oppressing the poor. So, I mean, love, I'm happy to hear about that, but we got to get rid of Daley. We got to get rid of, you know? Well, I see now she's right. Those are slap dab, very superficial solutions. They don't solve anything. The only real solution is a change of heart. And that takes mercy. That takes mercy. And the Lord is mercy. And so, when Jeremiah prays, let me witness the vengeance you take on them, for to you I have entrusted my cause. He doesn't know exactly what he wants things set right. But until the cross of Christ, nobody knows what that means. Nobody understands what that means, to set things right. It means to take upon yourself sin and offer it up to God in suffering in an act of love. That's too much. Well, better start your own religion. Because that's the heart of everything that our Lord Jesus Christ talks about. Does that mean we can never stand up for our rights? Of course not. But you see, if you look at this text, you see, look at this offer of mercy, constant and finally rejected in our Lord's life. Huh? He's here, we're in chapter 7 now. Still the debate from chapter 5. Chapter 6 is in the middle, but we're still in this debate. And it started in chapter 5 when our Lord healed that man at the pool of Bethesda on the Sabbath. You see, here he is. They're looking for him. Isn't this the one they're trying to kill? And here he is. And the crowd starts. He's the Christ. What do you mean? How can he be the Christ? He comes from Galilee. It's like saying he comes from the Appalachians. Anybody ever come from the Appalachians who ever amounted to anything? And especially in our religion, that's the. They even made fun of the Galileans because they talked with an accent. Everybody talks with an accent, but they had a funny way of speaking, and they mock it. You can see it in the Talmud. You know, I mean, Galileans were thought of as hillbillies. Jesus was one of them. Yeah, I mean, ridiculous. And so then, this the guards who were sent, you see, they come back without him. I'll leave you think about this yourself, but just think and pray, my friends. If you want to see an example of blindness, what can happen to us if we don't yield to the Lord, huh? They say to him, "Have you also been deceived?" Now, here's the arguments. Listen. "Have any of the authorities or Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd, which does not know the law and is accursed, doesn't understand Sharia, they're accursed." Nicodemus stands up and says, "Does our law ever allow us to condemn anyone without first hearing him out and seeing who he is?" What is their answer to him? You're right. We shouldn't be doing this. Right? Oh, no. The answer is, "You are not from Galilee also, are you?" It's all about Galilee. That's why he's such a bad guy. He's from Galilee. Not that he's a prophet. Not that he brings us God's word. Now, this is not just, we are meant to start to understand the forces that bring about our Lord's death. But we're also meant to understand what goes on in ourselves. How irrational we are in our prejudices, in our judgments, in our condemnation. We are irrational. We are moved by all these passions within us. Anger, hatred, jealousy, whatever. And they blind us. So, the church now starts to help us understand. Huh? Enter into the mystery of the passion. Here we have looked at from the side of the human component. Huh? The blindness, the anger, the resistance to truth. Soon, we're going to look at it from the other side. The life of the Trinity. We've already had texts like this, right? "I don't do anything unless I see the Father doing it." Well, what about this? That means the Father is completely committed to this and loves enough that his Son dies. But if I could be so bold, he's willing to die. We'll be there, you know, this text will start to introduce that to us little by little.